Everybody, it's been a little two-week hiatus, but Objection is back. I am David Johnson, and Dan Mancini is here, prepping for the surely epic Chicago-Detroit game versus the unbeaten Lions. I mean, that's the last time you ever heard that.
Indeed, I know. Up is down, black is white.
That's right.
Yet somehow the Cubs are not winning the World Series.
So. Hey, but you might be getting, like, half of the Boston Red Sox management staff pretty soon.
That's true. That's true.
Well, in this topsy-turvy world where we might be looking down the barrel of a Detroit-Buffalo Super Bowl, we thought we would return and bring some semblance of order, because that's what we do here in Objection. We bring the contrarian-holery to balance out, to bring balance to the universe.
Yes.
And speaking of balance, nobody is more of a, maybe diffuser of optimism, perhaps, than the greatest character on television right now, Ron Swanson.
Yes.
And we thought, we haven't talked about him in a while, and since the Parks and Rec season has begun anew, we haven't really addressed it. We thought we'd open the show with a Ron Swanson update. So, Dan, why don't you take us to this Ron Swanson update?
Yes, well, if you have not tuned in, the season premiere featured his first wife, Tammy.
Yes.
As opposed to his second wife, Tammy, the evil librarian. And I thought they played it well. His first wife completely emasculated him.
Yes.
He came in with no mustache, striped shirt tucked in.
Very helpful, very supportive of big government.
Yes. Now, that was actually the second episode of the season, wasn't it? Because in the first one, he ran off to the woods and grew a beard.
Well, yeah, right. First episode, Around the Woods, grew a beard. Second episode, okay. That was, let's see, let me try to orient myself. Maybe that was Tammy 1 was episode 2, right?
Yeah, it was, the name of the episode was Ron and Tammy's.
That's right, yes.
Because we'd already had Ron and Tammy, and Ron and Tammy 2.
Yes.
So, yeah. And it was multiple because it was Tammy 1, his first wife, and then we also learned that his mother's name was Tammy, which I'm not sure we knew. Did we know that?
I think so. He had mentioned that before. Tamara.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we got to meet her. And there was some good moonshine drinking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is the Ron Swanson mash liquor, which melts the shells of snails.
Yes.
They use it to burn warts off of donkeys.
Yes.
In fact, you know, I would argue that is Parks at its best. That is Leslie Knope at her best as well.
Yeah.
You know, as this intermediary, the supporter type. So.
It's once again, she goes to bat for Ron.
Yes.
Takes one for the team, as characters on the show always do, because they, in the end, they do support one another. I have to say, I've also thoroughly enjoyed the subplot involving Tom Haverford's...
That's right, Entertainment 720.
Business, yes, Entertainment 720.
Anytime you get Jean Ralphio on board, it's always a win.
Yes. They've hired basketball players, they've
Roy
hired
Hibbert
models, they have no business plan.
They give away iPads.
Right. And it's been thoroughly entertaining. Yeah, the Jean Ralphio, boy, that was a good episode.
That's right.
It was on. And called Ben. What was his nickname for him?
I forgot this on the Friday Filibuster, too. So, zero short prep on my part.
Yeah, one of them was Jello Shot.
Jello Shot, that's who Ben was. Yeah, J Shot, right.
It
probably has
such a D-bag.
Probably one of the great lines of Ron Swanson's already, you know, sterling career is, that was decoy gold.
Right.
Simple, perfect. I love it that all of Tammy 1's entire plan was to get at his gold.
Right, because Ron Swanson does not have a 401k. He's purchased gold and has buried it throughout Pawnee.
That is correct. So he is doing very well.
They've kept it going, kept it alive, and you know, Ron Swanson is Ron Swanson. That's fantastic.
So there you go. So all those who are wondering where we stood on Ron Swanson, we stand proudly with him. That is where we stand.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. We were, for our main topic, we thought we would... Actually, I'm going to let you go with this, Dan, because your latest status update... In fact, you'll find out most of our content for the show comes from Facebook status updates.
Yes.
That's kind of how we do this thing. So, but his latest one got us thinking, and this will be kind of our entry point into our larger discussion. So, what have you been watching recently?
Yeah, I saw a couple episodes of this. I'm flipping over to Facebook now so I can read the exact status update. And just watched an episode of it this morning, or maybe it was yesterday morning. I don't know. It's so painful that it kind of causes time to warp and blend together. But the status update is the Super Mario Brothers Super Show is, no exaggeration, the worst TV program I've ever seen.
Now, this is with Captain Lou Albano, right?
Yes. Captain Lou Albano and Danny Wells as Luigi.
So I remember the idea of the show, and I've got fleeting glimpses.
Yes. Well, the episode that I saw in full, and I've caught, like, you know, painful bits and pieces prior to this, because my children love it.
Both of course they do.
The show.
It's like Freddy Krueger's claws on a chalkboard for you, so of course they love it.
Right. Thanks to their friends owning Wii's and stuff, they're aware of Mario. And so then they saw Mario on Netflix, and were like, we want to see that. And then they saw an episode and loved it, so they've been watching it. The episode that I saw in full... And the way the show is structured is you have these live action kind of connecting segments featuring Lou Albano as Mario and Danny Wells as Luigi. And in this particular episode, it was about how Lou Albano, Captain Lou Albano, had disappeared. And Cyndi Lauper showed up. No. To let Mario and Luigi know that Captain Lou Albano was missing, had gone missing. So it was not only cheesy in the way that only stuff made in the 1980s can be cheesy, but horribly acted.
Very low production values, if I remember correctly.
Incredibly low production values. The animation is terrible. There was a scene that they were running somewhere, and they do, like, it's the characters' upper bodies with, like, a kind of hot dog-shaped ellipse below. It's supposed to be their legs running really fast. Yeah, really, really bad animation throughout. Just the kind of thing that kids love, apparently. So that is to introduce today's show topic, which is the fact that, as far as we're concerned, there's really never been a good video game to either TV or movie.
Yeah, adaptation. I mean, we started talking about TV shows, and there's plenty of TV shows out there, but the more we thought about it, it's like, where in the big screen and the small screen has there ever been something successful? You know, and successful by meaning not terrible, and, you know, maybe it made a little bit of money, but... has there ever been a well-regarded video game adaptation? I mean, you know, maybe there has, and we'll stumble upon that now. But our thesis is overwhelmingly no. And well, let's start with the TV. So you brought up Super Mario Brothers. Do you remember this? I reviewed this show a long time ago for this site, but Captain N, the Game Master. You remember that guy?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, it was essentially about a young human male who was addicted to Nintendo, and he was summoned by the princess. I don't know which princess, one of the multitude of princesses in the Nintendo universe, and he was sucked through his TV because he was the game master, essentially, which means he spent a lot of money on Nintendo licensed products, you know, and was given this cool name, and he had a jacket with the letter N on it. So he turned into this badass animated guy, and he met up with the princess, who may or may not have been Zelda. I'm not sure. I should remember, but I don't. Simon Belmont, who is like made out as this like waspy douchebag type. The Game Boy, like the anthropomorphic Game Boy, came in later, just as the actual Game Boy was releasing. all around. I mean, give it to Nintendo. You know, they were blatant about tying their video game themed devices with like TV shows. And they fought, you know, they fought against Mother Brain, I believe, Mother Brain from Metroid, and they got into various Nintendo specific, and it was essentially one extended commercial. I think Kid Icarus was in there too. And, yeah.
That sounds utterly terrifying.
It was terrible. Yeah, it's, it was essentially like, look at all the cool stuff Nintendo has that I want you to buy me, Mom. So.
Right. And do you remember from 1982,
ooh,
the Pac-Man animated television?
I do. I think I do. Was it like a family comedy? You know, or was he running around with Ms. Pac-Man? I do remember it.
I don't really remember, like, what the stories were. I just remember being disturbed by the fact that they had, like, a front view of Pac-Man.
Yeah, you got him.
Just round with, like, a mouth. And he wore a hat in the show, which obviously he does not in the game.
I talk about really just trying to flesh out mythology for, you know, is there really anything there to work off of? You know, like, can you imagine the writer's retreat? Okay, here's this game.
Yeah, I can't really remember if they gave him a backstory, what he was supposed to be. I mean, he was still spherical with just arms and legs.
And, I mean, did he eat pills?
He does not have the game. He did eat stuff. Yeah. The ghosts were in there. He didn't wear pants because he was just a spear.
Yeah, but who wears pants, though?
Yeah, right. I can't remember the plot of a single episode, but maybe they didn't have plots. I don't know. We wouldn't have noticed at the time.
Let's see, what else? Yeah, I believe there was an animated, maybe I have to check, an animated Mortal Kombat show? Is that? There was actually a live-action Mortal Kombat show. I'm not sure if there was an animated one.
Yeah, I don't remember the being a TV show.
Let me see here.
There are obviously multiple film adaptations.
Yeah, there are definitely. We'll get into that. But why? And please feel free, listeners, to correct me if I'm wrong. For some reason, I thought that there was a animated Mortal Kombat show. But never mind. Well, let's move on to the movies. So this is where the big one. This is where, you know, studios have been chasing like the promise of big box office numbers for years, adapting video games, you know, thinking that
This
is where we can do it.
Well, let me before we go there, though, let me throw out one more television series
that
just popped into my head. Do you remember Dragon's Lair?
Oh, yeah. Now, I have a distinct memory of that being cool, but I don't know. But that's just me remembering my young version of me thinking that was cool. So I have no idea what it was.
Yeah,
really.
It probably is. I suspect it would not hold up well. And it was an incredibly cheesy video game where...
That's right.
Remember, you just selected directions, essentially. I mean, it was cool looking because it was animated. So graphically, it was, you know, for the early 1980s, the video game was much more sophisticated than what we were used to. But you didn't really control the character.
That's right. There was lots of quick...
Oh, he's going to go left or right.
Yeah.
Right now, or something like that.
And that was like an arcade game, so you were just pumping quarters into that monster, I'm sure.
Yes.
The deaths were fast and furious.
They were. Deaths were fast and furious, and I'm trying to remember if you even got 3 lives in that game.
Oh.
I'm not sure you did, but it's been, you know, 25 years since I played it or something longer. Yeah, the TV series, looking at IMDb, ran from 1984 to 85.
Mm.
Fantastic. I'm sure it was utterly crappy.
Yeah, I mean, I remember thinking it was cool, so who knows. But all right, well, maybe that is great. Maybe that'll get sent to somebody, or maybe that has been reviewed already, and we can see.
It looks like, based on the cover image on IMDb, that it's on Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah, unless somebody, you know, just did a wish fulfillment.
Yeah, right.
Photoshop job.
That's right. Yeah. Those are pretty frequent, actually.
Because that seems like a bizarre thing to have on Blu-ray.
Hmm.
You know, no Raiders of the Lost Ark, but we've got Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, search of Dragon's Lair. I don't think anything's been reviewed at the verdict. So Hmm. All right. Who knows? Well, that'll all just have to kind of live in ambiguity until we're proved otherwise. But as far as movies go, I mean, we're talking like direct adaptations of video games. So nothing like The Wizard, which we would call The Wizard. That was an extended commercial for Nintendo for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
doesn't really make any sense. But man, Nintendo had everybody by the short and curlies in the 80s, I guess. You know?
Mm-hmm. It was all Nintendo.
It was all Nintendo. And the fact that they could sell something like Rob the Robot and people would buy it, that tells you all you need to know. But as far as direct adaptations, one I remember, well, there's obviously, which I haven't seen yet, I feel like I need to, but Super Mario Brothers, have you ever seen that? With John Damo and Bob Hoskins?
I'm pretty sure that I have seen parts of it, and yeah. I could not make it all the way through.
Okay. That I've dodged that one completely.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. I remember them having some sort of big, bulky mechanical boots on their feet at one point that allowed them to jump really high.
Yeah, I guess it was very dark and steampunk and just weird. The opposite of what you would think Super Mario Bros. Would be.
Yeah, it was not good. It definitely falls within the framework of this episode.
All right. Well, the first one that pops to my mind that I was genuinely excited to see was Street Fighter starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because that is, Street Fighter 2 is where I devoted most of my formative years on the video game console towards. Love Street Fighter 2. So when it was coming out, me and my friends hustled to see it and couldn't get enough of the hype. And yeah, that one, even in my naive, impressionable state, and as much as I loved the property and willed myself to kind of like it, deep down I already knew that it was a turd. So.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough. We're talking about like trying to shoehorn characters in that have no point. Don't really fit anything. And add insult to injury, it's Raul Julia's last movie. So.
Right, right. And, you know, let's face it. This is a program, talking about Objection now, where we are more than willing to give Jean-Claude Van Damme the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. He's earned that much from us.
So if we're saying steer clear, you know it's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we like our JCVD. But
that's right.
Not in this case.
Although I guess he was, I read somewhere that JCVD was at the birthday party of like a Chechen warlord. Did you see that? Did you see that show?
No.
Oh, did you hear that news? Yeah.
well, you know.
Let's see. I'm reading from the article. After strutting his stuff on stage, actor Jean-Claude Van Damme made his feelings for the Chechen warlord clear. I love you, Mr. Kedyrov. I love you with all my heart. Well, he's joined by Hilary Swank, too, so there you go.
Well, he's quite insane.
He is quite insane, but he gave us Lionheart. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What are we going to say?
Many, many others. Many hours of entertainment.
Many hours of entertainment, so yeah. But this isn't about Van Damme. So, I'll see another movie that occurs to me, Mortal Kombat, which I will, true confessions now, I think I saw it, I'm going to fess up, I saw it 4 times in the theater. 4. So obviously, it struck a chord with me back then, but it is brutal watching it now. So it's Paul W.S. Anderson's adaptation, and I mean, they flirt with getting the plot right, so you can't really take any qualms with the mythology, but it's just aggressively corny.
Yeah.
Aggressively. So.
Speaking of Paul W.S. Anderson, we also have his Resident Evil.
The only movie, and I'm serious about this, the only movie that I fell asleep watching in the theater. Sleepwalking that movie.
I can see that. It's pretty awful. The I think the third one, where it's a little more, I don't know, it has almost like a spaghetti western vibe to parts of it or something. I don't know whether it's just kind of out in dusty plains or what, but that one was like bearable. But only bearable.
I mean, the problem
was...
The
rest of them are just incredibly painful.
They just seem so detached from, like Resident Evil 4, by all accounts, one of the all-time greatest games ever made. And that, you know, if you transform that, that's theoretically pretty cool if you turn that into a movie. But these are just so separate and weird and lame.
Well, and they're just straight up action. I mean, there's not, if you're going to make a Resident Evil movie, then it really needs to be action horror. I mean, there needs to be some stuff where it scares the crap out of you. And those movies just don't, they're not interested in that at all. Just straight up action, which, you know, and then it's straight up action, not really done all that compellingly.
Yeah.
You know, skin dogs and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Didn't do much for me.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a sequel, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which I have a soft spot for, but it is objectively terrible. But I just have a soft spot because they just dispense with all sorts of plots and crank up the techno, and just random fights just occur between notable characters. And it's just this loud, abrasive slice of bombast, which I don't think anybody asked for it, but it showed up. And
so, yeah, it is kind of surprising.
So cranking it, it's pretty good, but just as a test of your AV rig, as a film, it's about as deep as this bowl of cereal I'm looking at right now.
I'll throw out there the Lara Croft movies.
Never saw them.
Yeah, just not, you know, it's sort of like the Resident Evil thing. Just kind of by the numbers and not particularly compelling. There's, I mean, you know, there's is some over-the-top action, but you just, I just couldn't care.
Yeah.
You know, there's never any kind of sense of danger in the action. You know, it's just action. And the first one does have a young Daniel Craig.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the bad guys, so, I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, that one, those probably have the most star power, I think.
Yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
You know, then do we have to really mention any of the Uwe Boll movies, Blood Rains and In the Name of the King and Alone in the Dark? Probably not, right?
Postal. Yeah, pretty...
yeah. Doom, another movie, terrible.
Doom was awful. Yeah, I actually reviewed that.
Missing the Point. Yeah, I got saddled with that one, too.
Yeah, it's a bizarre, because it's a video game adaptation on the one hand, and then, like, a really, really, really terrible remake of Aliens
on the other hand. Oh.
You have the smack-talking Space Marines, and you know immediately that within 30 minutes, they're all going to be crying like little girls because of the way that they're talking so much smack.
Right.
And sure enough, they all turn into Bill Paxton.
Well, let's see. What else? I'm sure there's a ton we're missing. But tell you what, since we're getting there's some rumored. Let's ask this question now, Dan. What current properties coming out, either now that are rumored to be made into feature film, you know, video game properties rumored to be made into films, or that you would like, do you think would actually have a shot at breaking this losing streak?
Well, that's the interesting question, because I think you get into then, is it possible to make a good video game adaptation? Because the question is, you know, with most video games, there's any kind of plot is so thin that it doesn't really translate over into movies. You can create your own plot or whatever,
right,
and characterizations are thin, and everything is so thin that it doesn't really translate. So then when you look at something like, to me, Uncharted, which is already, as a video game, it's really cinematic. It has great characters. Great to the point where when Uncharted 2 came out, I was actually mainly excited to rejoin the characters as opposed to just, more shooting pirates.
Right.
It's got that kind of Indiana Jones vibe to it and everything. But the question with that is, even if you get a stellar cast and stuff, is the movie just going to be pointless? Because the video game itself is a pretty solid cinematic experience.
That is a good point, actually. And it was built to be that way, you know?
Right.
Whereas, so, I mean, as a game, it was groundbreaking. As a movie, compared to other movies, it might even be looked at as derivative, you know?
Right, right.
Good point.
How do you mess with those characters and stuff? How do you recast that cast and everything. I mean, it's a weird thing that they're facing, because you're going to, you know, somebody who's played the game, I'm going to go in, and then if it's not Nolan North's voice coming out, yeah, out of Nathan Drake, it's going to be like, well, that doesn't really seem like Drake to me.
Well, my stance on those games have always been, as far as video game narratives, they're at the top, but there's still like a long way to go, I thought, because the writing is still pretty hit and miss, and you know, so like compared to other video games, Uncharted is like the cream of the crop as far as storytelling, cinematic storytelling. Though, you know, if you were to measure it against an actual movie, then you know, it could, you know, there's a lot of cliches and stuff here and there. But you're right.
Yes, if you are running that Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right, absolutely. So you're on that balance. So you take the mythology and really try to flesh it out so it stands as well as its own. Or is that risky, you know, alienating the fan base and really losing what makes Uncharted cool? So, but I mean, it's in the works, right? I mean, that's happening. I mean, I know it's kind of in a little bit of development hell now, so.
Yeah, I hear it's, you know, gaining traction again. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do, how they do it. And, you know, certainly that, you know, I think it's about, the original game is about an 8-hour playthrough. You know, you take out all the gratuitous gunfights and stuff, and it probably does boil down into about a 2-hour chunk of story, hour and a half to 2 hours. So, I mean, they probably could do a straight up adaptation of it. I would kind of like to see them pretty much adapt the first game, but throw in some twists.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like, oh, I've seen this. I've played through this like 8 times.
Right.
You know. But we'll see. And then still, I don't know about the casting. You know, that's one of those things where Steve Power and I have had many virtual conversations about who should play who.
Yeah, what's the lead? Where's the consensus now?
I think that our
Danny Glover,
like,
right? Danny Glover.
Yeah. Yes. Well, of course, that would be our first choice.
Of course.
I think right now we're both of us. Or last time we talked about it, which was probably a couple months ago, it was like maybe Bradley Cooper.
Oh, that's not a bad recommendation. Yeah, I can see that.
I still think that Victor Sullivan should be played by Kurt Russell.
That's good.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
I can't remember who we had for other, you know, maybe like Kristen Bell or somebody for the...
Except she's like 3'5", you know?
That's true. yeah, I don't know. I think they should just get the original... Well, the voice, because she's on a TV show right now, so just hired her in the movie. You know.
But so I think I think if there's any game that is prepackaged to make the transition, it's that one.
Yeah.
And for my request, my installment, this one has also been bandied about so much. It eludes me why this hasn't happened, because it would print money, but a Halo movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The game stories are, you know, like, could be a little hit and miss here and there, but the mythology is cool, and it's got an enormous, you know, fan base. And if you got, I mean, because it was like the idea, like Peter Jackson was going to produce, remember? And the guy District 9 was going to direct, and you know, it was
right,
be kind of gritty, and so I mean, who knows? That could have been. I don't understand why that was being held up. To me, that would just, I'm sure it'd be expensive, but it would print money for sure. And you got to strike while the iron's hot as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think since Christopher Nolan is going to be done after this next Batman movie, after Dark Knight Rises comes out, just reboot the whole series by adapting Arkham Asylum.
Ah, yes, that is.
You know, you'd have to flesh out the story.
And maybe Arkham City, which is dropping in a week or two, which I can't wait for. So
yeah,
yeah.
I'm curious to see how that one plays out too.
Definitely.
See how, you know, if it's going to be more open world.
Well, I suppose the moral of this particular podcast is as games have really become more like big budget productions, like movies anyway these days. So you're not having one guy developing, you know, a 56K cartridge for an Atari or whatever. You know, these are like multi-million dollar development, you know, like you got something like Gears of War 3, you know, 3 years of development and big money pumped in, huge staffs, and they've had to become like that because that's what games are now. So as those So I guess my outlook is that increases, and you see games really try to approach more of a cinematic storytelling, immersive type of movie, you know, feel, then maybe the jumping off point isn't as vast as like Super Mario Brothers or, you know, Street Fighter 2.
Which really Super is just, Mario Brothers is a pretty vast jumping off point.
That's right.
Was there ever a Donkey Kong show? Now that, you know,
I don't know.
Back to Super Mario
Brothers. I don't know. I'm not sure if PETA would stand for that, actually. So maybe Donkey Kong show and then Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Maybe that's considered Donkey Kong.
Yeah. I guess there wasn't. I'm amazed at that.
But then again, Dan, they are making a movie based on Battleship, so what do I know? You know?
Yeah, that's and Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Yeah. Essentially, I don't know what that's called.
Clue is a movie. Yeah.
Clue and, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, maybe they're going to minimize and go to look at. Maybe they've exhausted all the video games and now looking at board game properties. So,
right.
We'll finally get Michael Bay Yahtzee production been wanting for so long.
And as a nation, we've essentially organized our entire economic system around Monopoly.
That's right. Yes.
And we've landed on Park Place with a full hotel.
That's right.
We're trying to kick together to scratch to stay alive right now.
And China's knocking on the door for the luxury tax.
Right.
They want it. All right. Well, I think we'll call that a podcast. So thanks for tuning in. And it's we had a couple of weeks off, but we'll be back. And we've been teasing our show of the man we want to pay honor to. So we'll get to that eventually. Again, your hint is his surname is reflective of how he'll live on forever.
Forever, yes. Forever. How he cannot be destroyed.
Cannot be.
Stopped. Nope. And we've now built it up so much that...
it's going to be really disappointing.
Right. People are going to be like, what?
They're going to be saying, who is that guy? That is what they'll say. Who is that guy?
Right. Who are they even talking about?
All right, well, with that said, Dan, there's only one thing really left to say.
Thanks, 10 points easy.